Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rockin' can. Happy Target Demo Friday, everybody. Let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're up to this weekend. And as always, I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show in hour number four. Target Demo Friday, hit me up on Twitter with that info. DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS or on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDAShow. And let us know what you got cooking there. Coming up this morning here on the show, next hour, JJ Devaney, our soccer insider on the latest from the Premier League's restart and how does he grade out the MLS is back tournament. And then coming up at hour number four, NFL analyst, former NFL running back Fozzie Whitaker here on the show. So pretty cool. Good Friday for you. Coming up this morning, this hour here on the show, in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, the soap opera surrounding Zion Williamson and whether he took impermissible benefits while he was at Duke continues to swirl. If you want to jump in on the phones, we were talking in the first hour about the Big Ten deciding no non-conference games this fall, no non-conference college football games in the Big Ten. So the big one between Ohio State and Oregon has been nixed. All of the other non-conference games within the Big 12 have been eliminated. The Big Ten will go to a conference-only football schedule. In my mind, it doesn't mean it's the end of college football, but it is a precursor to what I believe almost all of these power conferences will do. I think they're going to try to trim the fat. They don't need to play against Miami of Ohio. No offense to the Redhawks. They don't need to play against UTEP. No offense. They just want their conference schedule to be played so that they get their big boy games, their rivalry games. They can control the protocols within their own league. It also gives them an extra four-week window, if you will, of flexibility either on the front end, the middle of the season, or the back end to figure things out or to pause. It means less events to try to execute and fewer events that make you less money. So it makes sense for the Big Ten to do this. I think it makes sense for the other conferences to do this. I think that's where we're headed. I think either it's going to be a conference-only season for the Power 5 college football teams, or it's going to be a spring football season. That's what I believe. I don't think we're anywhere close to canceling the whole shindig yet. So you can dial me up on that note at 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4. 227. Ed is in California here on CBS Sports Radio this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. I just have to disagree with you on this. football than basketball season. I think it's pointless. I mean, I understand we have this pandemic going on with this COVID, but my question is exactly what are they trying to control? I mean, you have the Big Ten that has schools that play against each other in four different states. The Pac-12 is going to follow with the same with five different schools. And then if the Big 12 does it or the SEC, you still have four and five different states that have schools that they play against in their own conference. What are they actually trying to control? I mean, and it's kind of mind-boggling because I have a nephew that is a freshman at the University of Colorado, and he's already been run from a senior high school prom and graduation, and now look at his schedule and one of the big games that he potentially was going to play in.
Slow down. I'll tell you what their thinking is. I'm not saying it's the right thinking. We don't know what the right thinking is. Obviously, nobody knows what the future's going to hold with the pandemic, but their thinking is we had a 12-game schedule. Let's lop off four games here to give ourselves some breathing room. Either on the front end of the schedule, 4 weeks to see where things go, or 4 weeks in the middle of the season, we could start when we normally did right around Labor Day if we need to pause the season, or if the pandemic gets worse as the winter comes, we can have 4 weeks at the back end, so we're already done by early November. So that's their thinking on wanting to do this. Also, remember, most of these non-conference games make them much less money than their conference games. So if they're going to trim four games, they're going to go, let's trim the four games that we don't usually make cash from when they normally play group of five teams. So I don't think they're trying to control the pandemic or the virus. I think they're financially trying to figure out if we're going to execute a season, how do we make it simpler for us?
Okay. I can understand that. And I was just going to dig a little bit more into it as far as heading to the BCS playoffs. I mean, you have some of these non-conference schools that might be maybe one of these undefeated teams like we would have had a few years ago that could really use a victory against Ohio State. Not that it's going to happen, but you never can tell. And now that time now that they've been forbidden to play, how would they weigh in when the playoffs come around for the championship? So I just kind of felt that maybe some of the non-conference school, which could be some of the, no-name schools, smaller schools that might have a good football team, opportunity to play Cinderella and knock off a big school.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, Ed, and I thank you for the phone call. I think that's an excellent question. How do you decide if you do hold a college football playoff who the four best teams are if you don't have any data from how conferences play one another? You don't have any data of these non-conference showdowns. I think it's an excellent question, and you're absolutely right. For the Boise States of the world and the UCFs of the world and the Cinderellas that could be, they don't get their shots at big boys outside of the conference. So you're absolutely right. But I think what ends up happening here is that the power conferences are looking to protect one thing for the most part, the bulk of their schedule and doing it in conference. That's what the Big Ten is doing. The Big Ten is essentially going, our first priority is protecting our league. And what do we do to protect our league? Let's get rid of four games that are outside of our league. Okay? And remember, the Big Ten Network and their television deal with Fox and ESPN is built primarily around the conference games. That's where the bulk of their revenue comes from. So they're thinking, if we can just get eight football games in here, let's do it. And those eight, let's make sure our member institutions are taken care of where their schedules aren't affected. And instead of saying, okay, well, we'll just see where the pandemic goes and then maybe you have to cancel, mid-October games, they're going, no, we don't want to cancel the big boy games. We want to cancel the early season games that nobody necessarily cares about anyway. And where the dominoes fall for a college football playoff, if we have them, who knows? I mean, it's going to be a lot harder to decipher who the best teams in America are because you have less data points. But I think if we even get to a college football playoff, it's a win. If we end up having four teams that we can pick to get to a playoff that funnel into a national championship game, hey, if we get eight college football games this year and a college football playoff, I got to say, that's a win. Yesterday, I don't know if you even noticed this because so many of you have been turned off to baseball, and so many of you, even if you're a baseball fan, might be going, okay, wake me up when the games actually happen because I'm sick and tired of hearing baseball on my radio, on the TV, on my social news feed. I don't care about them anymore, or I don't care about them until they actually play games. Wake me up when they're playing games. And I totally get that because they've been in the news for the wrong reasons for a couple of months now. So you may have missed this. But when I saw this come across my social media feed, I had to do a double take. I said, what? What? Yesterday. Okay, let me back up actually a little bit. Last week we talked about the Major League Baseball schedule reveal. Remember this? That MLB Network, understandably, as the arm of Major League Baseball, did a schedule release. Here's what opening day is going to look like. Here's the big matchups in baseball. Here's who opens up with what and what the schedule is going to look like. And we were even talking about this at the end of last week. So baseball just released what this season's schedule is going to look like, the 2020 schedule, obviously, because they were just embroiled in labor negotiations for how many weeks, how many months. So they just got, okay, the clearance, games are ready to go, 60-game schedule, teams are reporting, what do the schedules look like? Great. Yesterday, they released the 2021 schedule. Are you serious? Are you serious? Now, you guys know if you've listened to me long enough that one of my biggest pet peeves, it is one of the things that grinds my gears most, is that baseball, for some ridiculous reason, releases its next year's schedule during the season. Nobody else does this except baseball. And I still don't have a good reason for this. When the NFL season ends in February, they have crowned a champion, they look at the best, tastiest matchups, and they make a schedule based on the tastiest matchups with free agents that have moved teams, and they go, this could look good, this could be interesting, ooh, let's do this, and they put together a schedule for March. And we usually have a March schedule release for the NFL in their offseason. For the NBA, they go through an NBA playoffs, they host an NBA finals, they crown a champion. And then we have July 4th fireworks and free agency moves like Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors or LeBron deciding to go to the Miami Heat or back to Cleveland. These things happen in early July, and then the NBA puts out its schedule in August. And they say, well, what's the tastiest matchup? Ooh, LeBron goes back to Miami. Put that on TNT. Ooh, Kevin Durant plays his old Thunder teammates. Put that on ESPN. Ooh, these are the teams that matched up in the NBA Finals. Let's put both of these teams on Christmas Day. This is what they do to stoke interest. And Major League Baseball thinks that it's smart to release this schedule during their season, before they know who is crowned champion of the World Series, before they know who wins their divisions, before they know who's in the postseason, and well before they know where free agents have signed, they make their schedule. Now, I've never been given a good reason for this. The only thing I've ever heard is, well, baseball wants to provide maybe families that decide a summer in advance where their summer vacation is going to be an opportunity to plan that road trip. And I've heard this unbelievable excuse. Well, 162 games, they got to find out the big jigsaw puzzle of stadium availability, which to me is just about the dopiest rationale ever, because what else is being held in baseball ballparks these days? May I ask? Like, at Citi Field in New York where the Mets play, and I'm a partial season ticket holder of the Mets, there's usually, like, a country music concert. There might be one off-season soccer match during the summer, and Cirque du Soleil in the parking lot. That's essentially what their schedule's like outside of the Mets for 81 games. I mean, what are we doing? Is there tractor pulls? Entire bowling leagues, outdoor candlepin bowling leagues, bocce leagues being played at baseball ballparks? What exactly? I mean, they got a couple of concerts a summer, right? There's a couple of concerts that they play per summer at baseball ballparks. This is not enough to have to put together your schedule in August. And not only did baseball put out its season schedule during its current season for next year, they did it before this year played any games. What are you doing? We haven't even played the first 2020 game yet, and I'm looking at the 2021 schedule? My only guess is, from business purposes, they're saying all these people put money down on season tickets or single game tickets for 2020. They're not going to be able to go to games. So let's give them hope for next year and a reason to automatically roll things over into next year. You know, I've got money already spent on the 2020 season on tickets, and my guess is the Mets are trying to tell me in Major League Baseball, hey, here's next year's schedule. Doesn't this look great? Just roll over all that money to next year. But it is so bizarre that baseball insists on doing it this way. Why you wouldn't wait for the World Series and then have your schedule release in the offseason when you could curry some interest? You know, it would be kind of cool to have the schedule released in, like, December. And for Christmas, you know, you could see, oh, this is a good series. This just came out. Oh, this is kind of interesting. I'll buy some tickets to a single game or a series because the schedule just came out. But when you release the schedule in July or August of the previous year, there's no juice. You're in the middle of your own season. You cannibalize your own news. Oh, they released next year's schedule before one game this year has been played. I mean, only baseball. Only flipping baseball. 855-212-4CBS is that phone number. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we are stunned, and we've got news, and we are stunned to that news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little drippy 24/7.
You had never taken the SAT before in your life. How was it to have those questions thrown in front of you?
At first, very, very overwhelming when you're looking at things. Because you got to realize, DA, here we are, it's 2020. I graduated high school in 2005. So to see the checkmarky things I had to remember were square roots.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The checkmarky thingies are square roots. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show is available in podcast form. So let us know where you're at and how you're listening this morning on a Target Demo Friday. And if you missed anything or want to hear it again, you can listen to the podcast. The podcast available by simply searching the DA show anywhere that you download your podcasts before. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. A couple of tweets coming in here. And did you see that earlier this week, when they were talking about empty ballparks, AB, that our good friend Peter Schwartz actually tweeted, "So what are they going to do with all the foul balls with nobody in the stands. Did you see this?
Yeah, there's been, and once again, I don't see them on my own. Somebody sends them to me, but there has been another run of Schwartz tweets and posts and pictures. That was one of them. There was another one, too, which actually maybe I did see first and alerted the group in a role reversal where he took the kids to look at the construction site of the new Islanders arena at Belmont Racetrack here where near where I live on Long Island, where they just stood at a fence with an artist rendering of the arena. Like, that was their getaway. And listen, we're all reaching for things to do with our kids, but if that's something you're thinking about doing and your kids are enjoying, we need to reassess everything. But of course Pete wants foul balls.
Does that seem a little piggish to you?
Rob tweets, DA, I would put money on that Schwartz and Major League Baseball, he at mentioned them to release the schedule because he was planning their vacation because he wanted to know what city and where to go. This is his blood written all over it. Hashtag Schwartz conspiracy.
Doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Thankfully, Schwartz does not hold that much sway nor influence over Major League Baseball or any other sports operation. But this does feel like enormous news in the Schwartz household yesterday. Learning the schedule to pre-plan next year's vacations to dot the map to collect as many foul balls and free T-shirts as humanly possible. But I guess, AB, the point on Schwartz's tweet is not that it's surprising, but now it is so blatant. It is so brash. It is tweeting, what will they do with all of the foul balls? I mean, this is a man that will not be able to attend a baseball game this year. And his first thought is, who gets all the foul balls? He already has dozens of foul balls. He already has this.
Come on, man.
He already has more foul balls from baseball games than anybody could ever possibly want. He collects free stuff from every event. So he's got walls upon walls upon walls of free baseballs and free hockey pucks and free lacrosse balls. He's just got his own Dick's Sporting Goods in his house. Could you imagine your first thought this baseball season not being, wow, really cool that baseball's finally coming back. Can't wait to see the game. I wonder what it's going to look like without fans. Who's going to be the best team? A topsy-turvy season. What will 60 games look like? But instead going, who gets all the foul balls? And tweeting this, hoping that you get an answer like somebody's going to say, well, there's actually a raffle, or you just have to put in your name and number here, and you can get delivered. One lucky fan's going to get delivered 12 foul balls a day. Like, this is how his mind works, and Mraz's brain is scrambled from years and years of sodium and buffalo chicken dip. But one thing that he is absolutely a soothsayer on, and a good read is, he believes, and he has stated that Schwartz has an addiction, that this is no longer a hobby. This is no longer doing something nice for his kids. There's an addiction here. And when Schwartz tweets to the masses, hey, where'd all the foul balls go without these fans in attendance? He is absolutely trying to fill the addiction. This is a guy that has not been able to have a cigarette in 3 days. And now he's going, I got to get my next drag. Who's got a cig?
Terrible.
Maybe addiction is not the right, like, medical term, but there is something definitely diagnosable about this. This is a problem no matter what. Maybe it's just a simple, like, lack of shame or self-awareness. There could be a different, you know, mental diagnosis, but something is not right. That he is connected to every single thing. I saw him the other day in an Islanders, you know, mask across his face, and then the kids had one kid had a Met one on, one kid had a Jet one on, and we know he wants to have these kids in magazines selling merchandise. He needs foul balls. I'm waiting for the complaint tweets about not being able to get a press pass for games this year, because you know that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're only allowed 35 press members per game now, and here in New York, there's hundreds, you know, there's dozens at a regular game. So, like, I know my place in the world where I would randomly get into one or two per year. Like, I'm not even going to bother asking because I know I'm almost never going to make the 35-person cutdown, but I know Schwartz is going to ask repeatedly and keep being told no, and at some point that's going to become a complaint as well because he just doesn't know when to take his finger off the send button.
Not understanding because you're stupid.
That's exactly right. Peter Abraham, who covered the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for the Boston freaking Globe, said that right now for the Globe, as you said, 35 media members for Red Sox games when there have been upwards of 120 at some Red Sox games. So Schwartz is right now, no question, in panic mode. How do I get myself into these ballparks? And here's the thing about his post with his two kids and them all wearing team-issued masks. He at mentioned the company that either he bought them from or probably got them for free, of course, as some type of free trade. Of course.
Come on, man.
He either contacted this company and said, hey, if you send us free masks, we'll do a post about it. Or he said, let's at mention this company to try to get more masks. There's no doubt in my mind. And so it's just so brazen now. I mean, now he's basically pleading for foul balls over social media. Hey, what happens to all the foul balls? He's hoping there's a baseball team out there that goes, hey, you know what? We should give this guy all of our foul balls. He's just fishing.
Not understanding because you're stupid.
It's brazen and it's transparent. And while Peter used to be a valuable member of the DA show as our update anchor for 2 years, it has just gone so off the rails. He needs our structure. He
Come
really
on,
does.
Man.
Because
now
it's out of control.
You know this better than me. Your social media expertise is high. Do you think he's paying for some kind of like analytics report on his posts so that he actually can present data
the scientists
to people like in an email? When he's trying to get something for free, or I mean, can you do that without paying somebody? Is there normal, like, does Twitter provide that? So you can go, hey, look, I got 710 impressions with this last tweet. Send me a mask and I'll mention it. And who knows how high your sales will go.
I'm sure that Twitter can give you some type of impressions like Facebook does, some type of analytics. But if you for a second think that Pete's paying for those, oh, you are sorely mistaken. Sorely mistaken. Oh, of course, there are programs that will give you really good analytics and a deep dive into your social media numbers, but he ain't paying for that. That's for damn sure. If this guy is trolling for free lacrosse balls and baseballs and hockey pucks, there ain't no way in hell he's paying $64.99 to make sure that he gets a deep dive on his analytics. There ain't no way.
But maybe that $65 leads to all of this free stuff, so he somehow saw maybe the economic benefit of, instead of buying all of these things, which would easily total more than $65, let me give this one $65 check and then try to get every single thing else free for life.
But I don't think his math is that good because he once...
The checkmark thingies.
He once drove from Long Island into New York City, paid tolls and parking for a couple of slices of free pizza because Fox's pregame show is handed it out to fans. I can tell you the value of that trip for him, he came out as a loss. Okay, that was absolutely...
Forget my question.
That was a revenue loss for Pete. So I don't think...
Not understanding because you're stupid.
I wouldn't trust his business acumen on any of these transactions. So AB, you got our headline of this morning. What do we have?
These ones are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. The Big Ten will only play conference games this fall. That's the best case scenario. This applies to all fall sports, but obviously football is the headliner. Staying within the conference gives them flexibility for rescheduling and even more control over testing protocols. But Commissioner Kevin Warren did say last night playing no games is still very possible. Ohio State AD Gene Smith is getting worried.
As we went through May, I was feeling optimistic that things were being managed. And then June hit, and we began to loosen up some of the opportunities. And now we're, you know, we have a spike again.
His Buckeyes stopped their voluntary on-campus workouts this week after the latest COVID test results. Here's what we're missing with without non-conference games. OSU at Oregon, Miami at Michigan State, and Wisconsin Notre Dame at Wrigley. Irish AD Jack Swarbrick said yesterday it's now, quote, less likely the season starts on time. The Pac-12 and ACC may soon follow the Big Ten, and the SEC is getting all 14 ADs together at headquarters in Birmingham on Monday. That meeting has been scheduled for 2 weeks, though, according to SI, so it is not a direct response to the Big Ten decision. Now, the NCAA checking in with some deep thoughts, like usual last night, telling its members it supports them as they make these important decisions. Russell Westbrook and James Harden might be traveling to Orlando separately, but head coach Mike D'Antoni was on yesterday's team flight. However, he reportedly doesn't have clearance yet to actually coach in the bubble. The league is putting coaches 65 and older through added tests to protect them from the more severe COVID complications. The first round of bids on the Mets were due yesterday. Multiple outlets say billionaire Steve Cohen had the highest at over $2 billion. Alex Rodriguez's group said it'd be around $1.7 billion. The New England Revolution, a 1-0 win over the Montreal Impact last night in the MLS's back tournament. But more significant, Nashville SC is the second team sent home after 9 players tested positive. The Chicago Fire now shift from Group A to Group B, so now all 6 groups have 4 clubs. And Colin Morikawa slept on a one-shot lead after round one of the Workday Charity Open at Muirfield in Ohio. Phil Mickelson shot a 1-over-73 yesterday. He tees off in just a few minutes. The Memorial's at that same course next week, and Tiger Woods will play it. It'll be his first event in 5 months. Now, for the last time this week, we get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So this does not apply to me because I think roller coasters are dumb. But if you love them,
dumb.
And you're in Japan, yeah, waste of time. Absolute waste of time.
Waste
but if you
of
love them,
time.
We can do that afterwards if you want.
Okay.
Roller coasters are, again, they're dumb. But if you love them, and many people do, and if you're in Japan or going there soon, on a roller coaster, keep your mouth shut. Theme parks in the country have been open since June 1st, but those parks have been asking roller coaster riders to not scream. I believe the phrase was scream within your heart.
Yeah.
Because screaming with your mouth wide open, projecting germs into the air, may help spread coronavirus. So no screaming on these death-defying loop-de-loops and corkscrews and going way up in the air, then straight down towards the ground thinking you're going to die. Have no reaction to any of that. That's what they're being asked of you in Japan. Now, of course, some people have objected, saying it's impossible to be quiet. So one of the theme parks actually started a social media campaign. They put an amazing video up of 2 park executives in, like, full business attire. One guy had a bow tie on. The other guy was in a full suit, masks on. It was just them in this ridiculous coaster, and they ran the whole thing completely emotionless to show that you could do it. They've also asked people to video themselves on the coaster, not screaming, and posting those to social media, randomly picking winners to then get free tickets back to the park to again ride without screaming when you're on the coaster. This is, to me, DA, a stunning request for athleticism, mind, and body control. I don't know how you wouldn't make, or how you couldn't make noise on one of these rides.
Well, it's an excellent question. So my roller coaster experience has primarily come from Six Flags Great Adventure and the Batman ride and the Viper and all of those types of rides. I've hit the Coney Island Cyclone a couple of times as well. And I generally like roller coasters. I did Space Mountain and Thunder Mountain way back when I was a really little kid. I don't know if they've changed much over the years. But a bad roller coaster that's boring, you can no question not scream. But a good roller coaster, it's impossible not to scream. So I don't know how these roller coasters are in Japan, but I do find it's kind of like yawning. Sneezing. Did you know you cannot open your eyes during sneezing? It is an involuntary reflex. Your body will not allow your eyes to be open. That's why you blink when you sneeze. Apparently, it's to protect your eyeballs from popping out of the sockets, so you cannot keep your eyeballs open. So I think the same thing on a good roller coaster. If it's a good roller coaster, you can't not scream. It's physically impossible not to scream. So I'm with you. I don't know how you control that on really good roller coasters, although I will say, brilliant marketing move by the Japanese theme parks by saying, We'll post video of the best ones, or you should post video of you not doing something, because now it's a challenge for everybody for social media clout. And that's the only thing so many people are worried about right now, social media clout. Now, I don't know if they film you, because if you're holding your own phone, that's a little dangerous on a loop-de-loop, on some type of crazy roller coaster. But I love that idea of like, hey, no, it's like telling your four-year-old, no, vegetables are so good. It's they're not even good for you. No, they're bad for you. They're like candy. You know, you don't even want, it's like reverse psychology. Hey, you don't even want to scream on this, do you? You don't even want to scream. So screaming in your heart is hysterical. But let's go back to your psychology here. Why do you think that they're dumb? Yeah.
So I'm okay with wooden roller coasters. Like you mentioned, the Cyclone in Coney Island. Up and down, rickety wood roller coasters, fine by that. But anything that's even remotely like new age and we're doing corkscrews and upside down, going backwards, my feet dangling, spinning, high drops, it's just not for me. We've discussed this on multiple occasions. I'm not a sturdy individual. I get off one of those bad boys and I want to puke. My head is spinning. I feel like crap for hours afterwards. None of that is worth it to me. Feeling like I'm going to die or fall out of the thing or be upside down, going fast, whipping around corners, that's just not my idea of fun. So I am absolutely the guy standing by the stroller, holding my wife's purse while she and the kids go on all the scary rides, and I stay down safely on the ground.
So you're not a thrill seeker at all. So like you don't like to drive fast cars. You don't like to you don't like heights. You don't like to do anything like that.
I mean, I'm not afraid of heights. Like here in New York, like I'd go to the top of the Statue of Liberty, top of the Empire State Building. The height thing is not my concern. Would I ever bungee jump? Absolutely not. Would I ever go sky jumping? You know, skydiving? Never, 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 never. The craziest thing I've done in this line of work would be whitewater rafting, and that was in high school, which is a long time ago, which tells you how much I enjoyed whitewater rafting, which was barely any white water. So, yeah, no, I like getting to tomorrow. I don't like being hurt. I don't like feeling bad. Like, just let me move along, nice middle road, safe, calm, even, like, drinking. I never get, like, truly hammered because I hate feeling terrible the next morning. So I'll just at some point know where I've hit my limit and that's enough, and then tomorrow is okay and not ruined by the night before. It's just not how I operate in general.
Which is why you chose the most masculine of professions, talking.
Exactly. Nice and safe, don't need muscles, don't need outside, I don't need sunscreen, safety netting, helmets, OSHA certification. I sit in my seat and my worst issue is a sore back after 4 hours of a show.
Log flume, where do you stand on that?
Yeah, log flume is fine. I mean, it's, again, that's almost wooden roller coaster. So Splash Mountain, I'm okay with at Disney World because it's just straight down. Wooden roller coasters are fine too. And like I was on, there's a couple of roller coasters at Disney that I was on because they're not crazy. So those are all fine. But when you get the ones that are supposed to make you think you're dying are not for me.
That is stunned. 210s 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We are looking on a target demo Friday for your answers on where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing this weekend. So tweet at me or post it on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDAShow. You'll see the meme, which is a soccer player scoring a goal and then putting the soccer ball underneath his jersey to look like a pregnant belly and sucking on his thumb to look like a baby. That's today's Target Demo Friday meme. When we come back here on the show, more trouble for Zion? Will he be found in violation of amateurism? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins. Mornings, mothership.
I'm sick of the Dallas Cowboys. If they see you at McDonald's, they shouldn't even want to serve you. Say, you're the one gave them 6 packs. We ain't got no more food.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We ain't got no more food. Tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the PBR Monster Energy Team Challenge Championship gets underway as the top riders in the world team up to take on the monster pit. See what team will be one step closer to being crowned the inaugural champ on the CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! Thanks so much for being with us at the Target Demo Friday, everybody. Remember that the DA show is available to watch. Watch at watchda.com. That's going to be on your phone or your desktop, your laptop, your PC, or on your smart TV at watchda.com. For free, no sign-up needed, no cable provider needed. Just go there and watch at watchda.com. So, as the Zion saga turns, now we have a new turn of events where there is supposedly documentation of a signature that connects Zion Williamson's stepdad to accepting $400,000 while he was at Duke. Now, it includes Zion as well, that it's going to be him and his stepdad collecting $400,000. And this is a very bizarre, it's a very dense story that involves clashing marketing agencies, shady runners, shady documentation, and it's hard to figure what's real and what's not. It appears that the side that is accusing Zion of backing out of a marketing deal to sign with CAA, Creative Artists Agency, which is the most powerful agency in the country, maybe the world, has pretty flimsy evidence behind it. You know, that there's this signature and there's this driver's license of Zion that all looks forged, that all looks doctored and photoshopped. And so it appears that the evidence connecting Zion to this payment is going to be thrown out because it's so flimsy. But I think it's pretty interesting that, look, this number doesn't feel to me to be arbitrary, okay? The driver's license looks like it's doctored. The signature could be doctored. I mean, they misspelled Williamson's last name wrong in the document. I mean, you can't even get Williamson right. It's not like trying to spell Amendolara. You know, there's a lot there that just feels like this, all of this, the evidence here is very, very sketchy. But the number itself is interesting, $400,000. Because we had the Brian Bowen case, and this was the case that blew up the world of college basketball and was connected to Louisville, and that they were willing to pay $100,000 for Brian Bowen, and that other programs like Kansas, like Oklahoma State, like some others were willing, LSU's Will Wade involved in this, were willing to pay about that as well, $100,000 to $125,000 to land Brian Bowen. Now, Brian Bowen was a very good recruit, but he wasn't Zion. And I always said, and this is what I believe, not only about Zion at Duke, but plenty of other blue chip recruits. Now that we know the going rate for a Brian Bowen, you are here to tell me, if you're college basketball and you're trying to explain how you're clean and there's clean programs, that you have players that can get $100,000 of the open market from some program, but are choosing not to take the money and are choosing to play for free at a different program because the coach is good or because they like that university's campus. I mean, I know that those are factors. You know, some programs put out more NBA players. You know, Coach K has a lot of respect. But you're telling me that a kid's going to choose Duke for free when he could get $100,000 somewhere else. I have a very hard time believing that. That a family and a kid says, yeah, you know what? I know I got $100,000 over there to play or to take that job, but I'm going to play for free over here. Like, how many of us would ever make that decision? Here's $100,000 to do your job, or you could do your job for free. Which would you prefer? And Zion came out of high school with millions of Instagram followers, and being a human highlight reel and selling tickets and all this pizzazz and all this panache, and you know, everybody wanted Zion. So the idea that Zion will be four times worth as much as Brian Bowen sounds about right. So I don't think they'll ever get the documentation to convict him on something like this or to find him guilty. But I do think that more than likely, yeah, Zion took money to play college basketball.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.